The Haines Small Boat Harbor Project goes out to bid, and Skagway welcomes three new teachers as the school expands. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Haines Borough Manager Bill Seward announced at this week's assembly meeting that the bid documents for the Portage Cove Harbor Expansion Project were ready to go. And first thing Wednesday morning, the project was officially out to bid. The major step forward came after a lengthy debate at Tuesday's assembly meeting. The topic wasn't on the agenda, but it has come up at nearly every meeting for the past year. The harbor expansion has divided the community and the assembly, and this week was no exception. Members of the public spoke both for and against the project. Behind the dais, Assemblyman Tresham Gregg tried to stall the expansion by making a motion to turn the decision over to voters in a special election. That motion failed 4-2 after a prolonged discussion, with Gregg and George Campbell in favor of letting citizens decide. Here's Gregg.
I wish that we could be doing better on this whole project, and I think we're going to regret it. You know, it may come in overbid. And then what are we going to do?
The base bid for phase one of the project is $18.5 million. Borough Manager Seward weighed in on the debate, saying that the time for voting on the harbor has passed.
I've seen this thing in my brief time with you guys, ripped you guys apart, and ripped this community apart. And maybe the way to have had avoided that would have been through maybe a vote of the people. Long story short, we're already past the point of no return.
The public will have a chance to get their say at another Harbor Town Hall scheduled for Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at the library. In the last 15 or so years, nonprofit agencies in Haines have grown to rely on yearly grants from the borough. But now some on the assembly are voicing concerns that the borough can no longer afford to dole out the annual chunk of cash. The subject was brought up at Tuesday's assembly meeting, but the discussion about how to use the borough money historically set aside for nonprofits got tabled for 3 months. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
For the last 2 weeks, Chilkat Valley Preschool office manager Tracy Harmon has been putting in long hours on a borough nonprofit grant application. To her dismay, she learned Wednesday morning that not only did the conversation about nonprofit grants get delayed for 3 months by the assembly, it might not happen at all. Last year, CVP got nearly $4,000 from the borough. The year before that, it was $13,000.
Every year, CVP applies for the borough grant, Community Chest. Yeah, I've been working on it for the past 2 weeks. I've probably spent 20 to 40 hours, I don't even know. And I just found out. We've literally spent more money getting the grant ready, and then they want to tell us the day before it's due. Oh, but just forget it.
To be clear, there was no application crafted for FY17 at all. Harmon was using last year's template with last year's deadline. But she says she knew the application deadline falls around this time each year, so she went with it. There is no updated application on the borough's website and no mention of FY17 grants to nonprofits. That's why Assemblymember Margaret Friedenauer requested the discussion item be added to this week's meeting agenda. In the borough's draft budget, then-interim manager Brad Ryan noted that the $32,500 set aside as assembly appropriations in the general fund is again allotted to nonprofits, but the final budget doesn't specify where the money will go. Here's Friedenauer's motion.
Identify the $32,500 assembly appropriations in the general fund and the $15,000 assembly appropriations in the medical service area fund and the $17,500 assembly appropriations in the tourism and economic development fund as being for grants to community nonprofit organizations. Advertise for applications for those grants and establish an ad hoc committee to evaluate the grant request.
Last year and in years past, money from three different funds went toward the nonprofit grants. For example, in FY16, the Southeast Alaska State Fair got $17,000 from the Tourism Fund, while Southeast Senior Services got $6,600 from the Medical Service Area Fund. In total, last year, 11 nonprofits got grants ranging from $500 to $17,000. But that was last year. Even back then, some assembly members cautioned that the group should cut back its nonprofit grants because times are tough. Those sentiments were echoed again at this week's meeting. Assemblywoman Diana Lapham says nonprofits shouldn't rely on that money. She says it's time for the borough to scale back its spending.
The qualifications for that nonprofit community chest fund is once everything else is funded, then the possibility of using that community chest for nonprofits has a clear green light. We don't have everything funded.
Lapham says she understands how important nonprofits are to the community, but it simply no longer makes financial sense for the borough to continue giving out grants. Before the discussion could continue, Assemblyman Mike Case moved to table it for 3 months. Mayor Jan Hill announced that once the motion to table is out, the discussion stops. The vote was a tie, with Friedenauer, Ron Jackson, and Tresham Gregg opposed to putting off the discussion. Hill broke the tie in favor of tabling the nonprofit grant conversation for 3 months. At the end of the meeting, Friedenauer expressed her dissatisfaction with the way the debate had abruptly ended. She says the borough should give the nonprofits a clear answer, one way or the other, about the money they've come to count on.
By passing the budget with the intention that we had, we need to be able to give them a signal that they shouldn't be counting on this money now, not in 3 months.
Friedenauer says she plans on bringing the issue up at a future meeting. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
Skagway School went through a restructuring this year. An influx in students enabled the school to create single-grade classrooms in the elementary school, increase Spanish and music classes, and start an accelerated learning program. It also opened space for 3 new teachers. Rebecca Sullivan is sitting on the bleachers in Skagway School's gym. Her high school physical education students are shooting baskets and hitting volleyballs back and forth. This is just one of the 3 hats Sullivan wears. She teaches high school social studies, PE, and vocational education.
I was certified in social studies and in the state of Virginia, where it's really common to have just that one sort of class that you teach all day. And when I moved up to Alaska, they sort of gave me all these other classes, and I wasn't expecting to teach that, but it really is awesome being able to branch out like that.
Sullivan had an almost identical job in Kivalina for 2 years before moving to Skagway. She enjoys all of the subjects she teaches, but social studies is her forte.
I like to tell the stories, you know. No matter how old you get, you love hearing stories. So I like to sort of bring it on that level, sort of take it away from the memorization aspect and really try to understand what it was like to be alive in certain time periods.
Out of all of the topics covered by social studies, Sullivan says more recent history and current events are her favorites. Her government class is learning about the presidential election.
So I really like talking to kids about what's going on in the world right now and why it's like that. What do they think should be done? Because they're going to be the next generation coming up and dealing with the things that are going on right now.
Sullivan isn't the only teacher at this small school who wears multiple hats.
I am the Accelerated Learning Program Director and the College and Career Readiness Teacher and the District Test Coordinator and the Distance Learning Coordinator.
That's Jennifer Hayes. Before getting hired for this new multi-pronged job, she worked at Skagway School as a special education paraprofessional. What drew her to this position?
The accelerated learning program was really exciting to me. We do need that in this school. All schools need it, and it is a passion of mine.
The accelerated learning program is in its infancy.
Basically, it's up to the parents. What do they want for their student? It's not a one-size-fits-all program, so.
She says the program will target 3rd through 8th graders. Just like Hayes, Skagway School's new 4th grade teacher worked in the school already before getting her current position.
I landed a dream job.
Danielle McManus was a long-term substitute in the K-1-2 classroom last school year. Her background includes teaching English to kindergartners in Taiwan, substitute teaching in the lower 48, and student teaching in another 4th grade classroom.
It's the best and most interesting curriculum, in my opinion, and the students still love learning, and all 7 of my students are bright as a whip.
McManus comes into Skagway's elementary grades at an interesting time. For decades, the school had combined grade classrooms. This year, each elementary grade is separated out. McManus says it seems like her students are enjoying the change.
They really like the the attention that they're getting, having less numbers in the classroom. But also my 7 fourth graders, they've pretty much been together since they first got here. So they're really close to begin with, but I think they're excited to grow even closer throughout the year.
So far in the first week of school, McManus says she's leaving each day with a smile on her face. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.